on the Andy Griffin Show. Time to call in with your gripes, opinions, theories, and conspiracies. Here's your chance. Don't blow it. Only on News Radio 890, 92.5, KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Happy Friday to you. We're headed into a weekend. We're almost there. Now, if you work traditional hours, 8 to 5 or 9 to 5 or 8 to 4, whatever, you got to get through today. We're just at the starting end of that. But, yeah, weekend's almost here. I'm Andy Griffin. Thanks for tuning in to the Andy Griffin Show here on KDXU. I'm here every weekday from 9 to 10. And actually, I'm here from 6 to 10. But this call-in show is a 9 to 10 show. And again, thank you for coming along today. Open Line Friday means you can call me and talk about whatever is on your mind. 673-5890 is our studio line. If you want to text me, I already have a couple of texts. Folks are on it. You can text me at 435-467-5842. You know, I got an email the other day, and it was to the effect, I'm not going to go into the details of it, but it was basically someone of my age or maybe a little bit older who said, yeah, I don't understand what's wrong with young people today. And they made a couple of salient points. You know, they have grandkids that don't want to work. They have kids that, you know, are not motivated to do anything but sit and stare at the screen, at their iPad or their phone or whatever. I'm here to say I think even though there are some youth who have, I don't know, have some attitude and other issues. I'm actually pretty proud of some of our young people. And here's why. I look at some of the young people I've had a brush with, and I'm not talking about 20-year-olds or 25-year-olds. I'm talking about, you know, 14 to 18-year-olds. I think that, number one, we don't give them enough credit. I think that they're smarter than we think. They are, for the most part, they are more into understanding the issues that challenge our world today than you might think. And I think, you know, I look at some of the young people that I am in touch with, that I come across on a daily basis, and I'm like, you know, that's a pretty good kid. I think about when I was a young person, a couple of things. First of all, I did want to work because I wanted money. That was important to me, and we'll talk about jobs and young people in just a minute. But even though I did want to work and I wanted to have money, you know, I wanted to put gas in my car and stuff like that, I didn't really have a concept of worldwide issues. I mean, they were there. It was like so much noise to a 16-year-old or whatever, but they didn't. It didn't matter to me. I really didn't care who the president was, and I was lucky. The president was a good one. It was Ronald Reagan, but it didn't matter to me who the president was or what was happening in the world, whether or not, you know, abortion was legal, stuff like that. I just was like, nah, whatever. As long as I got money to put gas in my car and put in the arcade games, you know, a quarter to put in the arcade games, and as long as I had a place to sleep or whatever, I was good. So I think youth of today are much more aware of the world, of the issues of, you know, this battle between good and evil that we have going on in the world right now. And so I don't know that it's necessarily fair to just blanket coverage, just throw that out there. Young people are screwed up today. I don't think that's fair to say that. I mentioned jobs. I want to talk about jobs for just a minute. First of all, I want to talk about myself. When I was 14, my brother was a manager of a hotel. I took a job cleaning rooms. I wanted a job. So I wanted money so bad. I took a job cleaning hotel rooms when I was a young man. And this was in Salt Lake County, Salt Lake area. And, you know, I wanted to raise money so I could do stuff. And even though I didn't have my driver's license yet, it was important to me. I didn't realize at the time, okay, I'm learning a work ethic and this, that, and the other thing. All I knew is if I went to work after school, and I actually had to ride the bus to my job, so I'd ride to UTA to my job, and then I would clean rooms for 2 to 4 to 6 hours, and then I would ride the bus home. For me, that was freedom. And, you know, my parents didn't get in trouble for me riding public transit at 14 years old, and They didn't get, my brother didn't get in trouble for employing a young person because I was a family member. I was allowed to work there. But it was important for me to have a job and to work. And when I got to 16, I got a different job. Worked at a restaurant. I really gravitated toward delivery driver jobs. This is a kind of an interesting fact. I delivered at one point flowers, pizzas, auto parts, industrial parts, and human bodies. I worked at a mortuary for a while. One of my jobs was to go pick up a dead body and deliver it to the mortuary. I've delivered just about everything. Never delivered Chinese or anything like the Chinese food or anything like that. But I gravitated toward delivery jobs. But again, to me, it was a means to an end. I wanted the freedom of having some money. And so I worked. I wasn't thinking about life lessons, wasn't thinking about, learning a work ethic, wasn't thinking about integrating myself into society or anything like that. I just wanted some money, and so I went and got a job. My youngest son, my oldest son, AJ, he went to work at 14 as well. He found a job. They have some pretty restrictive rules for underage workers. You can only work, they can't work past, I think, dark or something like that. They can only work something like 2 hours a day, or I know, especially during the school year, they could only work a certain number of hours. But I remember him coming to me when he was 14, obviously didn't have a driver's license at 14, had a bicycle and an attitude of, I want to have a job because I want to make money. And I don't want to sit around the summer doing nothing. So he came to me and he said, Dad, I want to find a job. I was like, okay, AJ, you're 14. Good luck. Because I didn't think anybody would hire him. Well, a couple hours later, he came riding into the driveway in his on his bicycle and said, hey, I got a job. I said, what? You did what? He said, yeah, I got a job. I'm going to work at Sonic. I start tomorrow. And son of a gun, he went to Sonic and he got a job basically as a car hop, delivering food to people. And he would come home from work. We're talking about a 14-year-old. He would come home from work on his bicycle and both of his pockets would be bulging with tip money. So he was making whatever the minimum wage was back then. But then he would bring home two pocketfuls of cash from tips that he was making. And I was like, way to go, kid. I'm proud of you. AJ learned at an early age that eternal principle that people maybe, I don't think, understand completely in this world. He learned that, getting a job, working, making money is a way to kind of move the economy forward. Capitalism rules. And, AJ learned some things at that job that I didn't want him to learn yet at 14 years of old. I mean, he worked with a couple of guys who were clearly into illegal substances. He learned, he had a manager who had a foul language. This was stuff I'm like, 14, I don't know if I want him exposed to that stuff. But he went to work and he realized that, you're not going to be sheltered at home with your parents protecting you from that kind of stuff. Now, he was in middle school already, so he probably already heard all that stuff anyway. But he learned some life lessons, but he learned again that whole lesson of capitalism of, yeah, we're gonna get ourselves a job. We're gonna make some money, and gonna spend that money. Somebody's gonna support me. I'm gonna support myself. I'm gonna support a business that I follow. To me, it was just a really good natural progression. Now, there was an article written recently about kids and jobs. It was very anti kids and jobs. Basically, the gist of the article, and I can go into who wrote it and where it was and everything, but I'm not going to worry about that. But the job was called The Possible Cons of Work for Young People. And their argument was, number one, jobs add too much stress to the life of a young person. Number two, jobs can expose kids to people in situations they might not be ready for. And number three, a teen working a job might feel like childhood is ending too soon. And, I'm reading this article and I'm like, well, like, what's wrong with your kid? What's wrong with your kid? Did you not prepare your kid so that by 14 or 15 or 16, most kids don't get a job until they're 16. So, but even at 14 or 15, and certainly by 16, your kids should be ready for those three things. A little bit of stress. I mean, you know, if you go to high school and you've got a test the next day and you're not ready, talk about stress. You didn't study for your test. You get up that morning and go to school and realize, oh, we got a midterm today. That's stress, okay? That's more stress than you're going to get from if you go to work and you screwed up the guy's milkshake order or whatever. What kind of kid is not ready to... did you prepare your kid for life at 16? If your kid takes a job at 16 and is exposed to maybe someone who has a nose ring and a face tattoo, or maybe your kid is exposed to someone who is doing some illegal things out the back door of the business. If you didn't get your kid ready for that stuff by 16, that's on you, not them. And then finally, the to address their other main point, a teen working a job might feel like childhood is ending too soon. Well, how long is childhood supposed to last? When we stopped keeping score at youth soccer games and youth baseball games, you know, you go to a game and there's no scoreboard. You say who's winning, and we don't know. We're not keeping score. I guarantee you, every game that I coach, every game that my kids played in, I was keeping score. And just because they didn't have a scoreboard and they weren't supposed to be keeping score, that's part of growing up. Your kid loses. Your kid learns a lesson. Your kid wins. Hopefully they learn a lesson there too. Maybe not quite as painful. But there are lessons to be learned. I found an article on intellectualtakeout.org called "Why Do We Keep Underestimating Kids?" Pretty good story. Talks about kids and when they're ready to do things. And it talks about, it says, in a social setting, when are kids ready to do things? Children's roles and responsibilities. For instance, is your 5, 6, 7-year-old ready to take the dog on a walk? Good question. Maybe it depends on how big the dog is and how safe your neighborhood is. Interestingly enough, the author of this article, and again, the article is called "Why Do We Keep Underestimating Kids," said he got in trouble because he left his 11-year-old in a car while he ran into the store to get something. Now, we're not talking about leaving a baby in a car seat on a hot summer day. We're talking about an 11-year-old kid sitting in a car waiting for dad or mom to, you know, they ran into the store to get something. At what point are we going to stop coddling the kids and saying, oh, you know, that kid was in danger. That's terrible. That's terrible parenting. Is it? I don't think it is. The authors of the articles that used walking to school is a quintessential activity to illustrate each facet of child development. From a physical perspective, they report most kids aged 6 and 7 have all the skills needed to walk or ride to school. But at what age did you let your kids walk to school? Or at least walk to the bus stop? Or ride the bus, for that matter? Cognitively, kids know how to listen and respond appropriately by age 4 or 5. They can understand that, you know, what neighborhood they live in. What usually in kindergarten, age 5 and 6, they've learned their address. They've learned their own phone number. This article continues, by 5, children also are ready to start their formal education. So we've determined as a society, the kids are ready to go to school and start socializing with other kids their age and be taught by a teacher at the age of 5. So we've decided they're old enough to start learning things at age of 5, but they're not old enough to do most other things. Just of the article, again, it is on intellectualtakeout.org. It was written by, let's see if I can find the author. It was written by Lenore Skenazy. Let's stop underestimating our kids. Give them some responsibility. Now, I'm not saying expose them to a drag show. Don't get me wrong here. But there are, if you're a parent and you have questions, what age is appropriate for me to expose them to certain things? What age is it okay for my kid to take the dog for a walk or to walk to the school bus stop or to, to go to the convenience store and buy a candy bar? What age is appropriate? Well, I mean, every circumstance is different. Do they have to cross a busy road? Have they learned the rules of the road? Are they old enough to, if a stranger stops and tries to talk him into something, that did you teach him how to deal with that situation? Every situation is different, but I'm telling you now, kids are smarter than we think, and we've got to make an effort to stop underestimating them. If you have thoughts on the matter, give me a call, 673-5890. If you want to text into the program, 435-467-5842. I wanted to ask your advice now about something. This new company we work for is called Town Square Media. Been a real positive, I think. Them coming in, they've injected some money into this company to improve things. But there are certain expectations with the new corporation. And one of the main expectations is we, every one of us that is on the air, and that includes me and used to be Mikey, now he works for someone else, but DJ and Aaron E. over on the country station, Andy Thompson over on the sports station, Dave Hyatt, soon to be our new news director. I don't know if I'm allowed to say who that is yet, but we are expected to produce content on our websites. And not just produce content on our website. That is a minimal expectation, but then we are expected to have that content get what they call LPVs, local page views. And so, interestingly, I had a story last week that got, I'm gonna read the exact, I think it's 660,000 hits, which is shocking, actually. It got, of those 660,000, about 400,000 were what they consider local page views, which would include users. I mean, they can track all this stuff. It's amazing what they can track. But users that are in the state of Utah, and for whatever reason, California is part of our LPVs. So about two-thirds of those hits were from people in Utah and California. So here's my question for you. Here's the name of the story. This is the headline. Deadliest creature on the planet is alive and hunting in southern Utah. Okay, that's intriguing, right? Okay, that's kind of an interesting headline. And then the picture accompanying the headline is a picture of a gnarling. It looks like the wolf of the mouth of a wolf, kind of sharp, scary-looking teeth. Could be a monster. I mean, it's a really it's an extreme close-up, so you can't see it. So my question for you now is, and we'll get into the content of the article here in a second, is that a deceptive article? Is that what folks like to call clickbait? What do you think? And by the way, I got another text here. Somebody said, oh, total clickbait. All right, thank you for the input. I appreciate that. Did you look at the story? Do you know what the story is about? And I'm going to read a few paragraphs from it, and then you can again maybe give me a judgment on whether you think it was clickbait or not. All right, here it is. Quick, no Google or Alexa. What is the deadliest creature on planet Earth? Lion? No. Shark? Not even close. Wolf? Nope. Piranha? Rattlesnake? Tiger? Killer whale? Nope, 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 and nope. Those are the most common guesses, and they are the creatures we're supposed to be afraid of, according to Hollywood. But the worst killer of humans in the animal kingdom cannot be stopped and quite often cannot be avoided. There are specific government agencies designed to slow them down, but man's attempts at stopping these creatures so far has been futile. And we are this creature's favorite food. Plus, this time of year, the creature is hungry. What creature are we talking about? Notice I never said animal, because it's not technically an animal. It's an insect. And the creature we're talking about is the everyday mosquito. Did you know? I'm going to continue reading now. Every year, 725,000 people die worldwide from the resulting diseases transmitted by mosquitoes. According to Pfizer.com, mosquitoes carry malaria, West Nile virus, dengue fever, Zika virus, yellow fever, and chikungunya, which I don't even know what that is, all of which can be deadly to humans. Here's a quote from Pfizer.com. Mosquitoes are silent feeders. Their siphon-like mouthparts can quickly pierce human skin and feed on blood without causing any notice. How many times have you had a mosquito, by the way, sitting on your arm? You didn't even know it was there. The other day, I was at a park, and there was a mosquito on my arm. I didn't know it was there, but I just kind of reached over and felt something there and like almost inadvertently slapped that spot, that mosquito, squished, and yeah, there was blood in it, and I had blood on my, it's kind of disgusting, but anyway, to continue the story, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention calls mosquitoes the world's deadliest animal. It's a weighty moniker for an insect that weighs 2.5 milligrams. Mosquitoes require temperatures between 50 to 80 degrees to thrive and a water source nearby for breeding. Even in hotter climates like ours in southern Utah, they love to feed early in the mornings and late at night. And then I have a link for more mosquito facts, and then finish it up with, experts recommend wearing long sleeves and using mosquito repellent if you're going to be exposed to the creatures, although avoiding them altogether is your best bet. Oh, and in case you're wondering, the number two most deadly animal on the planet for men is other men. Human beings kill other human beings at the rate of about four, either on purpose or not, at the rate of about 400,000 per year. So again, that was a story I wrote. This was, I think, last Thursday, so a little over a week ago. It was an interesting kind of progression I got. When it first started really getting a lot of hits, I was proud, and I sent a screenshot from our analytics to the bosses. I'm like, hey, look, I'm doing really well and stuff. And then it just exploded over the weekend. I don't know who picked it up, who shared it, but it just exploded over the weekend. And so by the time Monday came around this week, the corporate bosses had noticed, the market president here was excited about it. And the funny thing was, though, after the initial accolades, hey, way to go, good job, great story, whatever, it was, okay, what are you going to do next? And I got that for days, for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Hey, man, you did a good story. What's next? Do you have another story? In fact, I had one of the upper management people say, you need to write more stories that have deadliest and creature in it, more in the headline. And I'm like, well, I'm going to do a story on the carousel in St. George. I don't know that deadliest and creature would really fit in very well in that headline. And I certainly couldn't have a close-up picture of a wolf's gnarling mouth lead that either. But I am happy. I'm proud that my story did really well. And I'm sure that Town Square Media and the corporate guys and everything, they're really happy about it. But man, talk about pressure and stress. They want me to do it again. I don't know if I can. And I certainly don't want to do it with clickbait, by people going, yeah, you lied to us. I don't think this story lies at all. The mosquito is the world's deadliest creature. I don't feel bad that I enticed people to click on it and read about it, because I think it's important people understand how deadly the mosquito can be with all the diseases it carries and unfortunately transmits between people. But that's going to be hard to replicate for sure. All right, 9:32 on KDXU. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll take your phone call, 673-5890. Also, we'll address a couple of the texts that I have in front of me. Stay tuned. This is the Andy Griffin Show.
Not afraid to tell it like it is.
A very smart cookie.
The Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5. KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
That liner cracks me up every time, because when we go places, my wife often has to have a little discussion with me before we get there. If there are, say, people of a more sensitive nature, she'll say, now, honey, there are certain things you can't talk about with this person. And I'm like, what do you mean? Because, you know, I'm pleading innocent. And she'll say, well, it's going to be your so-and-so. And I don't want to say which relative it is, but so you can't talk politics around her. You can't tell her she's crazy. You can't address certain things from your youth, because she'll accuse you of being a bad and evil person. And I was like, okay. What about if we go over to visit this other person? Oh, yeah. Well, okay. You can't talk about this, and you can't talk about it. Oh, and don't bring up the current president. And yeah, so I am not afraid to tell it like it is, apparently, unless I am warned by my sweet Shelly to say, you will not tell it like it is today. Mello is over there. Mello, you sent me a text earlier with a trend recently, Mello, about I absolutely hate this, and I think I'm not alone here. When you go to a restaurant or whatever, and you're going to pay with your credit cards, you turn your order in, there's a person there taking your order, And then once you scan your card in, Mello, they turn the thing around, and what do you see?
Oh, there's just one question for you.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, really? Oh, do I want to give you 10%, 15%, or 20% for doing your job?
For doing nothing. For taking my order that you were hired to do.
I know. So I've got to go around, and I know it's rude, but I feel so bad because I want to hit, and I always do. I always hit like 10 or 15%.
Do you?
So what I do now is I get cash, and I have cash in my wallet. I'm like, oh, I have cash for that. And I just pay it, and they don't ask the question. I know it's pretty rude. I don't try to be rude, but it irritates me. Like, if you're a server and you're making $3, $4, or $5 an hour, I'm gonna give you a great tip.
Sure.
But if you're doing your job that I had to do when I was 14 working at Dairy Queen,
then
you're already getting paid.
Yeah, yeah. So. We went somewhere the other day with my dad, and we paid our bill, and of course they turned the thing around, and I hit no tip because I'm like you. I'm like, you know, you didn't earn a tip. You didn't do anything yet, you know. But my dad was next, and he ordered his food, and they turned the thing around, and without thinking, he hit, you know, 20%, and then walked away. And as he's walking away, he's like, why did I do that? What was I thinking? I mean, just out of, and I think they get a lot of people that way. People that don't even think about it. Oh, I'll just hit a button.
It's social pressure too.
Uh-huh.
Because somebody's right there looking at you and saying, oh, you don't think I'm worth that? Like, is my job so
Yeah, the puppy
so
dog eyes they give
that,
you sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I have cash in my wallet all the time now.
There are places out there that won't take cash anymore though.
They take Apple Pay though, so I can always flip it around into Apple Pay. Yeah.
All right. It's a real thing, and you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. All right. Thanks, Mello. Mm-hmm. Appreciate the input. Let's go to the phone line. I think Steve's been hanging on a few minutes. Hey, Steve, what's up, man?
Good morning, Andy. How you doing?
I'm doing okay.
So I'd like to talk a little bit about the upcoming City Council, St. George City Council elections that are coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's been some real issues that we've been dealing with the last several months, drag shows in the park, increasing property taxes, funding the police and fire department. And all these things are very important, and the people in St. George are going to have an opportunity to remove some of the people who have been rather supportive of these issues in a negative way towards the community. And I would just like to remind everybody that, in fact, it's starting June 1st. The people who will be running against the three incumbents, Hughes, Larkin, and MacArthur, are up for election.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people that are going to be running against these folks. And the few that I've talked to are very like-minded to Michelle Tanner, which I think Michelle Tanner is the lone wolf out there. She's probably one of the few that actually has an understanding of the proper role of government. And so, if we want to have changes in St. George to where we're actually funding the police department and the fire department up front, not as a second thought after the fact, we really need to think about replacing these three people with folks who understand the proper role of government.
Yeah, I'm not going to, at this point anyway, endorse any of the candidates at all, but I agree with what you're saying. This is an opportunity for people to, I mean, we talk about it all the time, Steve, that, you know, we want change. Things need to be different. We want, and then, you know, we go and we vote for the same people over and over again. So, yeah, it's a great opportunity to actually affect real change.
Right. And so just to single out one issue, the truth in taxation hearing that was held here, I don't know, a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Time seems to pass by pretty quick the older I get. But, you know, those three council members that I named, all three of them voted for the increase a month before the truth in taxation. And, of course, at the hearing, because people were overwhelming against it, those three people wouldn't even second a motion to raise the taxes. And so my point is, you know, these people are pretty bold and interested in putting their hand in your pocket when they're behind closed doors and it's just them looking at each other and you know, thinking that this is such a great idea. But they need to be listening to the folks in the community. And if they're not going to listen to us, then they don't deserve to have a position on the city council. And, you know, Mayor Randall just changed the ability for citizens to even address the city council anymore. These people are out of control. And this is an opportunity to be able to change the city council significantly so that the people can start having their wishes, their desires, their needs met instead of the elite in the community who think they know better than we do.
Yeah, and that's always been something, you know, it's an interesting juxtaposition they have because they do know a lot more than we do, but I don't think it's fair for them to act as if they know better than we do. And so I'm with you on that. And I really feel like oftentimes they kind of go, well, that's what you think, but that's not the reality. And it's like, well, okay, then explain to me what reality is, because what the reality you're giving me is what is, you know, it's like I'm a 4-year-old and you're my mom and you're telling me the way it is and I have to believe you no matter what. And that's not what it's all about.
Right. And, you know, Andy, that's a great point, because it really distinguishes those people on the council that understand what their role is. They're supposed to be protecting our lives, our liberty, and our pursuit of happiness. They're not our mom and our dad. They're supposed to be upholding the law so that the citizens can pursue their interests and their happiness, not so that the city council can run the city like it's their own personal business. And so this is an opportunity, folks, that are here in St. George. If you don't like the way things have been going, there is going to be an election, a primary election, and it'll be in August. And, you know, now's the time to find out who these people are running and see if you can support them. Maybe you can't. I don't know. But this is an opportunity for people to actually vet the current group we have and a new group that says that they would like to have a shot at it because they actually – may understand that their proper role is not to run the city as a CEO, but to protect our rights, our liberty, and our pursuit of happiness.
And let me add to that, maybe you feel strongly enough out there that you want to run, and you know, you're the kind of person that would want to go and say, I want to represent the people. So, yeah, thanks for the call, Steve. Appreciate it.
Yes, thank you.
All right, couple folks on hold, so let's get to them. Tom, I believe, on line 2. Tom, are you there?
I am here. Thank you.
Thanks for calling, man. What's up?
Well, first off, I'd like to say I sure appreciate Steve when he calls in. I appreciate his point of view and the clarity in which he speaks. And anyway, I just wanted him to know that. I listen. I don't call too often, but I just wanted him to know that. Actually, the reason why I called about monetary system, money in the system, mm-hmm. and you made the comment that there's a few businesses that you've been to here that don't accept cash. I'd like to know who they are, because number one, I will not patronize a business that will not accept cash. I don't participate in the non-cash. I don't participate in the mental thinking out there that everything has to go digital because the government's taking more and more of our independence away by doing that. Sure, I appreciate the convenience of having credit and debit and pay online, using our Apple Pay and so forth. And I do some of that, but cash is still king, and it needs to stay that way. But I would like to know who those businesses are that you're talking about, because I will not and do not patronize businesses that. And as far as the tipping goes, that's a real good point. If there's no work done to earn that tip, I don't care. They're not getting a tip.
Good for you.
and I always tip for good work, whether it's a restaurant or whether it's a laborer that does some service for me. I say, here, I appreciate what you've done. You've gone over and above. Here's a little extra, more than what you quoted me, because I appreciate the extra work you've done. And it's a cash tip, because they appreciate that, and I appreciate what they've done. So I just wanted to get that out there, but I really would like to know who these businesses are, because they're going to feel it from me, all right?
Yeah, I think that's a great point, and maybe we need to start putting together a list, because I can tell you in the last 2 weeks I've gone to 2 different businesses, and I can't think of which ones they are right then, and I don't want to call out the wrong one, but I can think of 2 of them that actually had a sign up said, we no longer accept cash, so that's something we need to check out.
Yeah, well, they will no longer accept business from me or anybody that I know of. I will not refer to them. So, and you know, one bad referral, you lose 10 customers. One good referral, you only get 3. So if people are smart, they're going to not turn away customers or get a bad referral. So anyway, thanks.
Yep.
Appreciate Andy the time. And once again, thanks to Steve for his call.
All right. Thanks, Tom. Good to talk to you. Let's go to line 3 now. Hey, thanks for calling in. I don't have my who is this? What's your name?
Richard.
Richard. Oh, Richard. Thanks for calling. How's it going today?
It's going good for Friday. Now, you had a story earlier from your news guy.
Yeah.
Talked about the Bibles being removed from the schools in Davis County.
Correct, yeah.
What's the reasoning behind that?
They stated it was a school board member with a lot of influence has gotten the Bibles pulled from the school libraries because of what they deem to be vulgar, offensive, and violent content from the Holy Bible. That was their reasoning.
That was a King James Version. It's a bad Bible, I guess. Dang it. Can you believe that crap? You know, first they take Tom Sawyer, and then they start moving on, and now we're to the Bible.
Yeah.
They want religion completely out of the system, I guess, and anybody looking for it better go to somewhere else.
It boggles the mind, doesn't it, that they would actually, I mean, we're laughing, we're joking about it, but it's not funny. I mean, it's unbelievable, really. That's akin to, remember the ruling, I don't know, a decade or more back where you no longer could have the Ten Commandments listed in your city hall. You know, it's that same kind of thing. They're trying to yank it all away.
And then we wondered why this country's going down the tube so fast and we're okay with murdering 55 million babies, eh?
And setting aside a whole month of the year for Pride festivities, and yet you can't have the Bible in your school.
Well, we had 24 hours to honor our veterans who died for this country. Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, you're right. Thanks, right, Richard.
Man.
Yeah, good to talk to you, man. 9:50 on KDXU. We'll take a break. Back with more of your calls. We're running short on time. If you're going to get it in soon. 673-5890. You can text me 435-467-5842. Welcome back. We're down to the last 6 or 7 minutes of the program. I did want to get to this for a minute. It comes from, someone texted me and said, hey, you know, they're sure making a mistake and a big deal with this whole vigilante thing out in New York. And basically, their thought is, now, the sword Jordan Neely is a guy, the street performer with some mental issues who was threatening people on a subway. Yeah, he was restrained by a U.S. Marine who put him in a chokehold. Unfortunately, Neely passed away. He wasn't trying to kill him. In fact, it wasn't just one guy that was restraining. It was several guys that were helping restrain him, one of which was an African-American, by the way. And unfortunately, like I said, Jordan Neely died in this situation. But they are calling now for a prosecution to the Daniel Penny, the U.S. Marine that stepped in to stop Neely as he threatened multiple passengers trapped with him in the New York subway train. Penny was arrested on manslaughter charges and subsequently released on bond. But listen to the Reverend Al Sharpton. Here he is. He's leading a march or a protest or whatever. And then Sharpton is calling for Penny to be.
He had a background. He'd been arrested. He was homeless. He was this. None of that was known to the man choking him.
Reverend Al Sharpton addressed the killing of Jordan Neely, a man who died after being put in that chokehold on the New York City subway on Monday. This is a video put out by Associated Press. Sharpton called for the Manhattan District Attorney to investigate the man seen putting Neely in that chokehold, as well as those seen helping to restrain the man.
I talked to the DA's office. I said, I know y'all got to do an investigation, do what you got to do. I'm not attacking nobody, but I'm saying that this man needs to be prosecuted. Because what you will do if you do not prosecute him, in my judgment, is you will set a standard of vigilantism that we cannot tolerate. The precedent alone is a threat to all of us.
All right, I talked to a few of my friends about this, right, who would have done exactly what Penny did. Listen, this is the guy that Neely, who was threatening people on the subway. He had 42 prior arrests by the age of 30. In 2015, Neely kidnapped a 7-year-old girl and dragged her down a street before being stopped. He was arrested but received 4 months in jail. In 2019, he punched an elderly man in the face without cause because he didn't like how he looked. 2 years later, he punched an elderly woman in the face as she exited the subway She just walked out of the subway, guy roundhouse punch, broke her nose and the orbital bone in her face. Neely had also been captured on video attacking people in the streets of New York. He was freaking out on the subway, and this Marine was a hero. In my opinion, this guy was a hero. He went and restrained it. He got help from other people and restrained this guy. Now, is it sad that this man died? Well, I guess it depends on how you look at it. But, yes, I suppose it's sad that the man died when he wasn't, in fact, trying to take anyone else's life. But really, he should have been locked away in an asylum. He never should have been on that subway. We don't do that in America much anymore, which might be part of the reason why violence is a continuing problem in our nation. We used to separate such people, crazy, lunatic, psychotic people, from normal, healthy communities. Unfortunately, ACLU and all these different groups have said, well, you can't do that anymore. It's not fair to them. Well, it's not fair to the rest of us is the problem. And so now you've got people like Al Sharpton saying, well, put that Marine, that American hero who was probably saving other people's lives, throw him in jail. Daniel Penny is his name. And it's to me, it's more evidence of how screwed up we are in this country. I think, I mean, if you look at the people, the percentage of people leaving places like New York and San Francisco and Philadelphia and Baltimore and Chicago and Detroit, people don't want to be there anymore because you're around people. Regardless of what race he was, psychotic people like this Neely guy. And when someone tries to do something, you've got these people like Al Sharpton going, well, you know, you gotta get the hero, the guy that saved everybody, he's a racist. Let's throw him in jail. Otherwise we're gonna have more heroes step forward, and we can't have more heroes step forward. Wait, what? Yeah, we can't have that. We can't have people stepping up and helping other people. That's a no-no. In that Kyle Rittenhouse case, remember the kid that ended up shooting three people because they were basically attacking, and this was during the whole BLM riots and everything. He was acquitted. But did you know the three people he shot? In self-defense, they were trying to kill him. The three people he shot all had criminal records, like major criminal records. Nobody talks about that, do they? He hit a convicted pedophile, a convicted domestic abuser, and a third assailant with a decade-long record of theft and violence that did not die. Rittenhouse, I think, was really more of a hero than anything else. I'm glad he got acquitted, but he'll forever be guilty in the court of public opinion. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you on Monday.